19 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're tuned in to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro. Good morning. I'm Mark Smith. Joining me by phone this morning is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us. It seems like every month there is a new development to talk about on the Farm Bill. And this month, we can talk about last week, the House passed its version of the Farm Bill. The Senate, of course, had already passed its own version. And so now I guess it's to the work of finding a way to mesh these two together into something that'll work for everyone.
Well, we did have a positive last week in the sense that the committee passed out its version of the Farm Bill, which was really good for Southern agriculture. And I say that, you know, this is so important that we get something right. This is a tremendous portion of the economy of our state and so many states throughout the country. It's one of the bright spots in our balance of trade. Again, we need to get it right. The fact that we have some of the lowest, probably the lowest food prices in the world for our people. But it was passed in the committee.
Right.
Now it has to go to the floor. And then hopefully soon they will pass something on the floor of the House. And then, as you say, we'll mesh out the differences between the Senate bill and the House bill.
Okay. So still quite a way to go to getting to something. Is something going to happen this year to reach an agreement on that?
Yes, sir, I think so. You know, myself, Senator Pryor, Congressman Crawford, being on the committee in the House, are all working very, very hard to get that done. And it's just another thing, you know, we talk a lot about the economy, and what this does is cause uncertainty. I was with a young guy, a young farmer, a couple weeks ago. He was in the process. He needs a new tractor. But because of all of this up in the air, he's elected not to make that purchase until there's some certainty, till he knows what the rules are going to be for the next 5 years. And so he doesn't buy the tractor. The place in Arkansas doesn't get that sale, so they aren't able to buy other things, and it just goes on and on. So we've got to get this done. It's very, very important, and it's really important for our economy.
Well, the House also held, I believe, another vote on repealing the Affordable Care Act last week. These votes have been taken numerous times, and although the repeal passes the House, it never goes any further. What's the point of having these votes?
Well, I think a number of reasons. One thing, it puts people on record. And I can't tell you how unpopular this is in Arkansas and throughout the country. So it lets people know, you know, where they're at on this. Do they still support it, even though the overwhelming majority of the American people say no? You know, this is not a workable solution. Even though the Supreme Court ruled that it was constitutional, they also made the point that that doesn't make it good policy. So I think the other thing is that as you take the vote, before the vote, you have a number of hours of discussion. And that's the opportunity to talk about the current act, Obamacare, and then also talk about some of the alternatives, you know, in the sense that if the repeal took place. So you're right, it won't go any place in the Senate. Harry Reid won't do that. But it is a good discussion to have, and it is something on the mind of the American people.
You mentioned the alternatives. What are the alternatives? What would Republicans put in place of the current act?
Well, free market solutions, allowing people to buy insurance across state lines. Right now, you know, you see the Geico television commercial. If you like that, you can buy that regardless of where it's, you know, where the parent company is. Right now, you can't do that. You have to have insurance that's there within the state. Allowing people like my barbers to pool together, and instead of going into the market as just a small business with two or three employees, maybe to get 1,000 other barbers together, and then them go into the marketplace, you know, and get a much lower rate. Health savings accounts where you set aside some money and have a catastrophic insurance plan. That's a good option. And then also, you have to do the things to underpin it, like tort reform, where you don't have the nuisance lawsuits. We have a number of counties in Arkansas where they don't deliver babies anymore because of the high cost of the health insurance premiums.
Well, the whole insurance market does get confusing when big companies like Blue Cross and United and some of these others are so prevalent in almost every state. How is buying across state lines going to help? Is there really that much difference between the types of health coverage you can get from state to state?
It is, you know, and what that would do would give tremendous increases in competition. In some of these states, there's literally only one or two people that supply insurance in the entire state. So this would give a lot more competition, much like our house insurance and car insurance. I've had the same car insurance since I was 16 years old. I've had to change insurance health-wise many times as I've changed jobs through the years. So you need to have the ability to shop across state lines. You need more competition. And then also, in the case of insurance, you need portability. It shouldn't be that you lose your job and you lose your insurance. So those are, you know, there's things that we've got to get done. The current system is not good. But the system that came up that created tremendous increased cost, it's averaged that the average person, the average family, health insurance premiums are going to go up dramatically as a result of this. So it's not controlling cost, which is really the problem, is the high cost of health care.
Well, many Democrats like to point out that Mitt Romney, as governor of Massachusetts, had a health care plan in place that was very similar to what's referred to as Obamacare, and it's worked for that state, according to many. So why is it bad for the nation?
Well, I think, you know, if the state of Arkansas or the state of Massachusetts chooses to go in a direction like that, then they should have the ability to do that. The state of Tennessee, our neighboring state, not too far from you, they went into a 10-care type situation. It almost bankrupted the state, and they, after a few years, ran from it. They couldn't get rid of it quickly enough. So it's okay to experiment, but again, as far as a national mandate, I'm very much opposed to that. And the other problem that we've got with this law is, as you look at it, when you look at all the groups, when you look at the business groups, when you look at the fact that because it will be cheaper for companies to dump their employees into the exchanges, people won't get to keep the insurance that they've got now. In many cases, the studies are telling us that. And then the tremendous increase in the mandates on Medicaid. All of these things are such that it makes it where it's simply unaffordable.
If Republicans are successful in repealing the Affordable Care Act, there's bound to be a transitional period between the current plan and the plan you want to put in place, and that's sure to cause more uncertainty, it seems like. So what happens to those that are in need during the transition period?
Well, I think you're exactly right, and uncertainty really is the thing that makes it so difficult for people to function. We're seeing that with tax policy right now. Businesses don't know what their taxes are going to be next year. They suspect they're going to get higher. So as a result of that, they've just shut down right now until the election's over, and it really is costing our economy. We would see the same thing with health care. There's things in this bill that are good. The insurance companies working with them, we would allow young people to stay on their parents' insurance, things like that. Again, I mentioned portability. What would have to be is, if, you know, in doing repeal, what we're going to need to do is immediately, along with that, is put out a series of alternatives and enact them into law to solve some of the problems that we're having right now. But again, through the free market system and making it such that things would be much cheaper than the current law that we have right now.
Well, what's referred to as the Bush tax cuts were given a two-year extension in 2010. That extension period's just about up, and many Democrats want to extend the tax cuts for those making $250,000 or less, but let them expire for those making more than that. I understand is there a vote in the Senate expected soon on this?
Probably so. What we have, you know, this has been current tax law for 10 years, so this is not, I wouldn't really refer to it as Bush tax cuts. I would talk about the Obama tax increases. Right now, most economists, in fact, almost all, feel like with this very, very shaky economy, now is not the time to raise taxes on anyone. But in that $250,000, now that is $250,000 as a couple, not as an individual. $200,000 as an individual. What you'd have among that, many of our businesses, many of your listeners, their companies file as individuals, subchapter S corporations, you know, things like that. So there would be about 1 million businesses caught up in that. About 25% of the workforce in America would be caught up in that. And so I'm very much opposed to raising taxes on that group at this very, very difficult time. What we need to do is look at real reform in our tax policy and kind of quit getting off the gimmicks and get into some real reform that would allow us to get rid of the loopholes. We've got corporations now, some of them pay zero taxes while making billions of dollars. Others pay the full rate. What we've got to do is make it such that we get rid of the loopholes where everybody pays something, and then we could lower the tax rate significantly on our corporations and allow them to compete better with overseas corporations, and that would help our employment picture.
Well, there are, those who believe that these tax cuts are at least partly to blame for the debt and the reversal of the surpluses we had during the 1990s.
Well, I think that when you look at different periods in our history, President Kennedy cut taxes. We had a significant increase in the economy, President Reagan. When you look at even the early years of President Bush with the tax cuts, things were doing well. I don't think that that's the case. In fact, a recent study came out that the tax cuts contributed about 16%. The vast majority is expanding government and spending too much money, which I think that we simply, have got to cut back. We can't spend more than we make. We need to adopt a strategy much like the state of Arkansas, and they've done a good job through the years because they have to, through a constitutional amendment. They can't spend more than they make, and we need to get back in that situation with the federal government.
I know one of the primary functions of Congress is, of course, appropriating funds for the federal budget, but this is a function that always seems to get put on the back burner, especially in election year. This, I guess, is again a concern this year.
It is a real concern, and we need to go through the regular appropriations process. Sadly, many of our government agencies won't know what kind of funding they're going to get until 2 or 3 months after the fiscal year begins. Right now, we don't have a budget. The Senate hasn't had a budget in over 3 years, which is remarkable. Senator Reid just refuses to bring that up. But how do you plan, how do you set forth the appropriations if you don't have a blueprint to work from? The reason that he doesn't want to do that is that the solutions to our problems are going to take us rolling up our sleeves. We are going to have to cut back. But the alternative is to wind up like Greece, Italy, Spain, I think France now. So again, we've got to do the budgeting process. We've got to do the appropriations process on time. We've got to be honest with the American people.
Well, and it's mid July. You're going to have an August recess. We got the election in November, of course, and then the holiday period. Very limited time to get anything done. What should Congress be working on the time you have left?
Well, I think we should be looking at reforming our tax policy. I think that we should go ahead and decide on tax policy for the next couple of years right now. As I mentioned earlier, if you're a business person and you don't know what the rules are going to be, in the next year or two, it's very difficult. In fact, it's impossible. You can play with bad rules, you can play with good rules, but if you don't know what the rules are going to be, then as a result of that, you tend to freeze and not do anything. That's what's happening now. We're seeing that with our employment picture. We're seeing it with the economy in general. Our businesses simply, with all of the uncertainty that's hovering around, don't know what to do. So I would go ahead with the taxes, the tax policy. Let's get that out on the table. Let's get it discussed. Let's get it decided one way or another. See where the votes lie. But those are the kind of things we need to work on, along with laying the groundwork for tax overhaul, tax policy.
How much concern is there about sequestration, the automatic budget cuts due to take place as a result of the failure of the Bipartisan Budget Committee to agree on significant budget cuts?
I'm very concerned about that, and I think that the most members of Congress are. if you look at the draconian cuts that would come to the military, they've already taken almost a $500 billion decrease. Everything is taking a haircut and will in the future to get our budget back on track. As I said earlier, we've got to quit spending more than we have. But sequestration would add almost another $500 billion cut. The head of our Marine Force is said that with sequestration that he didn't feel like we would have enough Marines to actually fight a major engagement. I mean, that's how serious it is. So we're going to be working really hard to shift things around a little bit. Everyone agrees that we've got to cut back, but you want to do it in such a way that you don't create problems. One of the few things, you know, constitutionally that we are specifically required to do as a federal government is to protect the nation. And, you know, there's arguments as to how much that cost, but we need to have enough spending going on that we keep ourselves safe. And I'm a guy that believes in peace through strength.
We're right out of time, Senator. I thank you for your time this month, and we'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Well, thank you, as always, for having us. We appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you. Senator John Bozeman joins us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KSU Jonesboro. It's 835.